EO's report.
Okay, just a couple of things on the EO report. I'm not going to talk about all the items in there, just two. One of them is the De La Viega Golf Course. And as you can see from the staff report, that we think that that site, improving that site has progressed really well. They have a stakeholder involvement process now. They have removed the off-road vehicle traffic, and they've implemented erosion control measures in the form of vegetation. And our last inspection of that site confirmed that, and I think we have some photographs if you would like to see them. I think you asked.
Actually, in my notes, I wanted to see photos.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially for the parking lot.
It's looking pretty good.
Yes, there it is. There's the site now.
I wish it looked that good.
Thank you very much. We're done.
Now, are these photographs going to be some of the same areas that Mr. Briggs took when we took the...
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Because then that way you can compare.
Yeah, they may not be. I don't know.
All right.
This is Harvey Packard. These photos were all taken by Peter Von Langen of our staff, and they go back a ways, and so we'll be able to see the progression of the restoration up there. I'm not familiar with the site myself, so I'll try to explain them as Peter explained them to me, and hopefully it makes sense. This is from Google Earth, actually Google Maps. We don't use Google Earth at work. That is the disc facility up at the top. This is the area known as Top of the World. Up in the corner, the parking lot that we'll see. And this is the De La Viega Golf Course that you're also familiar with. This is October 05, and you can see the start of some of their efforts. The logs block the off-road access, fiber rolls. March 06. This is one of the worst areas previously where they've seeded it and kept people off for this growing period. The same area. This is from the parking lot looking back up toward the top of the hill. And I think this, Mr. Jeffries, is one of the same spots that we saw earlier. That was it the previous one? Okay. I remember this picture from here with that berm, and it was just that white, chalky soil before. And now you can see the grass growing on it. They put wood chip paths down. That's from November of last year. And the stakeholder groups that Michael mentioned are the ones that are doing a lot of the work up here. The disc golfers are actually spreading the chips and keeping the logs in place and the cars off of it. So they're doing a lot of the work themselves. No, I'm sure they're not going to last forever. Yeah, it'll take some continuing maintenance. See, there's the garbage and recycling collection. They graveled the parking lot. Can't see it very well on that with the glare. Hay bales. These are the pictures Peter took in December. They're not as high quality. He took them with his phone, actually. But they show what's going on here. And this is a paved road, and you see the grass growing pretty well up off the side there. There's those same, that whole 13 through 16 area. And that's it.
Good.
So how does it keep from getting, you know, going back to the way it was?
Well, I think keeping the cars off is going to be...
Was that the main problem?
Yeah, that was a huge problem right there.
Well, it was also the foot traffic. They were just beating the heck out of the areas.
They've put paths down and asked people to stay on the paths as much as possible.
Harvey, do you know what they've done with the eroded side of the road that was going down into the creek? Because there were some very deep cuts. Have they done anything to kind of...
I think that's one of them. Other than trying to vegetate them, I'm not sure if they've done anything. I don't know.
Okay. Well, at least it's encouraging to see the hay, bales of hay, and also the rolls along the road.
Right.
But it's an ongoing problem, and it's a big erosion problem up there. It's a gigantic area.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, anything else in the EO report you want to call our attention to?
The only other thing is that, not on this, moving off of this subject now, is the Delidio project. The board had asked for an update on that project. I think that what is written here is self-explanatory, and basically, and Lori will correct me if I'm wrong here, but if we receive an application for waste discharge for this site, for this shopping center that is being proposed, we will be the lead agency, the lead CEQA agency for the discharge only, not for the rest of the project. That will probably be confusing to members of the public because some do want CEQA review of the site and lead agency, but we will only be the lead agency on the discharge.
Well, that's not really clear. Part of it depends on when they come to us for the application and how much is built out. We have to consider the project and all reasonably foreseeable impacts of the project. So if the wastewater treatment plant is necessary to allow the rest of the development to happen, we need to study the rest of the development in the CEQA document. There's also an argument, and I haven't done enough research to know what the conclusion is, but there's what's called the anti-piecemealing principle of CEQA, which means you can't take one big project and chop it up into little projects to make CEQA review easy, you know, to avoid looking at the impacts of the whole project. In this case, because it's not our agency that's going to be permitting any of the other parts of the project, I'm not sure how that would apply here. There's also the possibility of the county acting as the lead agency, even though they're not going to be issuing discretionary permits. They could still certify a CEQA document that we could rely on as a responsible agency. They haven't been approached to do that yet, but it's something we could discuss with them. But at this point, I don't think we even have an application.
So if you're a downstream of the Delidio project, and now that it's going to be all paved over, there's going to be a lot more runoff, and more runoff is going to go into the creek. And if that causes flooding downstream, are they responsible for that? Or is that a whole different issue?
Well, there's the issue of what they're responsible for if somebody were to bring an action against them, and there's the issue of what constraints we can put in the permit. And if something about the project that we're permitting is going to cause downstream flooding, then that's a nuisance resulting from the discharge of waste, so that's something that we could regulate. It's come up in other facilities, usually not because of the increase in impervious surfaces, but because the increased discharge can cause downstream flooding, and that is something we have jurisdiction over.
Thank you.
One more question. In the staff report, it refers to an option for the lead agency to consider the Office of Planning and Research. Is that county or...
No, there's a procedure in the CEQA regulations if there's a dispute over who should be lead agency, and usually it's because two agencies want to be lead agency, or else that's what the thought was when the reg was written, that if there's a dispute, you can go to the Office of Planning and Research, and they'll decide who's going to be the lead agency. I think nowadays it's more frequent that two agencies are trying to get the other one to be lead agency, and I have never heard of a situation where a limited jurisdiction agency like ours tries to have a general jurisdiction agency appointed as the lead agency when the general jurisdiction agency isn't going to be issuing a discretionary permit. But it's something that we could look into.
So, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So, Lori, I did not understand that. Then I thought that we would not be in a position where we were overseeing other aspects of the project, that would go to someone else, such as this Office of Research.
No, OPR doesn't do CEQA documents. They're the agency that receives the notices and posts the notices. They just decide who's going to be doing CEQA documents.
Okay.
We won't be overseeing any other parts of the project. We're not going to be issuing permits for things that we don't normally permit, but we may have to study them in our CEQA document in considering whether or not to issue WDRs for the treatment plant.
All right, then let me come at it from a different angle. So if we're looking at other aspects of the project, not overseeing them, but looking at them, and as part of our consideration, can we require low-impact development design standards for the project, such as the infiltration, such as the site has to remain, has to keep the same hydrographic.
Like how you think.
Same hydrographic profile before and after. In other words, they can't increase runoff.
Well, it's possible. I think it's possible. Certainly we have jurisdiction over that because we're going to be issuing construction permits. The NPDES construction permits aren't subject to CEQA, but it's pretty easy to argue that that's something within our jurisdiction. One problem that occurs when a limited jurisdiction agency is the lead CEQA agency is that we don't have authority to impose restrictions outside of our jurisdiction. So either we can make findings that we suggest that agencies that do have jurisdiction impose those restrictions, or we just do a statement of overriding consideration saying that those impacts can't be mitigated. But it's something that we'll definitely have to think about some more. But,
okay.
Yeah, I think there's an opening.
That's all we need.
Okay. Well, I think that concludes our hearing. We'll reconvene March 23rd in San Luis Obispo, and we are adding on May 10th.
Yes, and there was some discussion, email discussion about April 27th. That's off.
So
cancel that.
May 10th, and it's simply for the Los Osos issues.
Yes.
For the five board, well now a sixth, we have a sixth board member. Mr. Hodgin can participate in that.
Yes.
For those items that we're going to put on the agenda to conclude.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Should we take these?